Now take note, the wrists are taped, the knuckles are not, they aren't wearing gloves, and it all started with a Philly guy.
You have to be built a little different to do this.
Okay, I'd say that's fair, but as brutal as bare knuckle seems, in reality,
it's safer than any other combat sport out there.
But this interview isn't just about fighting in the ring. It's also about fighting for your own well-being.
I think the main thing here is why. Like, why did I turn to therapy?
He's the owner of the fastest growing combat sport in the world, bare knuckle fighting CEO David Feldman, now on
The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to The Pulse. You know the deal. We've got people who have amazing stories. They're doing cool things. They're inspiring. They're unique. And David Feldman, the founder of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, is all those things and in the building. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming in. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship.
All right.
Let's start there. I mean, it is exactly what it sounds like.
It is.
How does something like that even get started?
You know, it's look, changing perception, right? Like, people get a perception of what this is, right? And they go, just what you said and just what everybody else says, bare knuckle, what is that? It's actually very, very entertaining. It's safer than any other combat sport out there. And the reason why we created it is because I wanted to create our own lane. I didn't want to be a Me Too. I didn't want to be another MMA organization. I don't want it to be another boxing organization. I wanted to create something that people would have the opportunity to really follow, to really, you know, get involved with and become a part of. And I think that's what they did with Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, as we are billed now as the fastest growing combat sport promotion or sport in the world.
It's amazing, that level of growth, because I was I was reading as recently as like 7 years ago. It was a struggle.
Yeah.
Like, you were out there getting, I guess, clearance to fight in certain areas was hard. Overcoming the obstacles was hard. And now you get to be the fastest growing. Tell us about that journey of kind of getting people to believe this is actually legitimate.
Sure. Yeah. What you have to do to do something like this is you have to get approval from either the State Athletic Commission, the Boxing Commission, the Mixed Martial Arts Commission. Every state has one. So I had to go out and I had to pitch them, and I was pitching them on a concept, on a dream, on a vision. I wasn't pitching them on something that actually happened before, because this never happened before. The last one that came remotely close to anything that happened in 2018 was in 1889, and we didn't have anything to show them. So we had to go over and tell our story, and it was hard to get them to believe it. But then once we finally did get approval, we got approval first in the state of Wyoming, which we did our first show June 2nd, 2018. Mm-hmm. After that, I was starting to be able to compile data, right? And then it's hard to argue data. You can argue opinion. You can argue whether you like it or not, but you can't really argue data. And now we have 5.5 years of data, medical data, that shows that we have less injuries than any other combat sport out there. So that's why it makes it a lot more easy for me to knock down those doors of these new states that are regulating us.
It's honestly hard to believe. And I'm a fan, right? It's rough watching people get beat up pretty good.
Sure.
I'm a fan. But that data is even surprising to me, like that there are not more injuries in the bare knuckle.
So I'll give it to you in kind of layman's terms. If I was to show you how to do this without watching it, I would say, hey, Bill, come on over to the wall. And I would say, punch the wall with your bare knuckle. And you would punch it like this, right?
Right.
Or like that, maybe a little harder. And now I would say, hey, Bill, put this glove on and punch the wall. Bang, you would punch it a lot harder. Mm. So you're going to punch it harder with the glove on. The glove has a bigger zone for you to punch it. So it's just a bigger square inch and, you know, circumference that it's going to a bigger surface area that it's going to hit you with. So it can hit you harder. You can hit more and more and more times with the glove on than you can with a bare knuckle. So you don't get hit as much. You don't get hit as hard. But it's very exciting, because if someone does hit you in the face, they hit you in the eye, they hit you in the head, it does more times than not, it creates a laceration.
It lumps you up.
Yeah.
It honestly makes sense when you explain it in layman's terms. And I guess that's part of what the journey was in getting people to understand. Because you're right. If you tell me to go hit a wall, I'm not hitting that wall with everything I have.
Absolutely.
But you put a glove on it, everybody thinks they know how to fight.
I mean, just, you know, just when people go out there, just in fear of possibly breaking their hand, they don't punch as hard. They just don't, because, I'm punching with a bare knuckle. I think I'm going to probably break my hand if I'm aiming at your head, right? But if you aim at this part of the face where the guys are aiming, or you aim at the body, you're not going to hurt your hand, and that's what these guys do.
So you start compiling data.
Right.
People start saying, okay, let's give it a shot.
Right.
It's a slow build to kind of get people to, when did it click? Like, when do you think people started going, okay, this is legit. This is pay-per-view. I want to see this.
Yeah, the first event was actually on pay-per-view, and we were trending number one on Twitter all over the world. In everything, not just sports, in everything, we were trending number one. So I was like, man, we just killed it on pay-per-view. And then I learned a lot about piracy that night, where we didn't get any pay-per-view buys, but we had over 2.8 million people watching it live. So it was incredible for us that they were watching it. Then we learned how to really kind of turn the door with or open the door with the pay-per-view and learn how to really do that. And I think actually the best way now is we don't really do a lot of pay-per-view events. We do it more free, and we're getting millions and millions of live viewers per event. But when it really clicked is when I had a former boxing world champion, Paulie Malignaggi, and he fought a former MMA star, Artem Lobov, in Tampa in my fifth fight. And that's when I think I sold about 6,000 tickets then, and everybody was watching it and talking about it. That's when I was starting to get more of the mainstream combat sports media to really pick this up. And then we started getting a lot more guys from mixed martial arts, and then a lot more guys from boxing coming over. And then they had no choice but to start writing about it because they were top names in their respective sports. Yeah. So they were writing about it, and that's when it started really picking up steam. And then we were selling tickets. So we're selling 10,000 tickets. We're selling 12,000 tickets. And now on Saturday night at Wells Fargo Center, we sold over 17,000 tickets. So this is something that's it just catching on. It's a phenomenon in combat sports. It is truly the new era in combat sports right now because it's very, very widely accepted, not just by regulators, but by fans, and getting the mainstream acceptance, blue chip sponsors being interested in us, major TV deals on deck. So many great things are happening for the sport right now.
You know what's interesting about this? I feel like every person watching thinks they can play sports. Like, you sit there and watch the Eagles game, people will criticize Jalen Hurts all up and down. I could do that. You watch the Sixers, people believe, because they were rec league all-stars, that they could go out there and actually compete.
Sure.
To some extent, every guy who's ever come up in life, and many of the women, feel like you could fight. I feel like watching this, there's a different level of respect. Like, even people who think they could fight go, yeah, I don't know about getting in there. So I think that actually builds up kind of the lore of the people doing it.
It does.
It's like gladiators. You sit back and go, yo, respect for what you do. Like, I'm not even trying to do that.
No, it does. Absolutely. So you have to be built a little different to do this. You just do. I mean, we have some of the greatest fighters in the world that we talk to about this, and they're like, we're not doing that. And then we have some other great fighters that are like, that's what I do. Like Eddie Alvarez, for instance, who just fought. He's from Kensington. He's from the streets. He said, I started my career with bare knuckles. I put gloves on, and I'm ending my career with bare knuckles. So it just depends what type of, what I call, like, what type of it do you really have, right? Do you really have it to get inside that ring in front of tens of thousands of people and fight with a bare knuckle? And not a lot of people do.
We want to talk about your background, because you came up as a boxer, up tough background. And so the fighting part of it, you kind of got. Are you surprised at how many people have the it? Like, how many people? Because you know what it takes to have the it. And some of these folks, we were just looking at videos, is relatively small, attractive women jumping in there and go toe-to-toe and throw everything. Does it ever shock you that you're like, really? You're going to
do this? Yeah, no, certainly it does. I mean, at the beginning, we were chasing all the fighters, trying to get them to sign up. Now the tide has changed, and a lot of fighters are reaching out to us. So now it's not as difficult. But at the beginning of this journey, it was so difficult to get guys and girls to do this thing. But one of the girls that fought this past Saturday night also fought in my first show back in 2018, Beck Rawlings, and she put on one of the best women's fights ever that night. And it was just a great experience. So We also had a woman named Paige Van Zandt, who was a Sports Illustrated cover girl and fought bare knuckle. And I was like, man, why do you want to fight bare knuckle?
Right.
But it's they're testing themselves. It's a little different allure. And like I said, it skyrockets their popularity because people are the why. Like, why are you doing that? And that's when people really want to tune in to watch it because they want to see the outcome of it.
We started talking about your background. Let's share some of that. So you came up. I was reading articles about your background. I've known your brother for years.
Yeah.
And you guys had tough coming up.
Sure.
Fighting home, overcoming challenges. You've told stories about kind of your lowest points and having to talk yourself out of depression and things like that.
Sure.
Two things. One, how does that inspire this journey? And two, why have you been so open about sharing, you know, that part of your life and the challenges you've had to overcome?
First part of it is my mother was a quadriplegic, so she couldn't really move her hands or legs, and she painted these pictures with paintbrushes in her mouth. She actually painted these beautiful roses that I have in my office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you get down in the dumps, and business is very, very challenging. It is a roller coaster ride, and a lot of people just see the outcome, which they're supposed to see, right? The fans are supposed to see that beautiful, shiny apple, but they don't see what it takes to grow that apple, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of difficulties along the way, and a lot of times you want to quit. And a lot of people, as you start getting more and more successful, want to see you fail more, and they do things to make you fail more. It's just the nature of the beast, especially in combat sports. Combat sports is a dirty sport. It's a dirty enterprise. It's a dirty business. It's not the easiest to live in. I think the reason why I'm being so open about it is because really, like, when I was down in the dumps and I did turn to therapy and I was able to really continue doing therapy, it changed my life. Like, it saved my life. It saved my life. It saved my marriage. It changed my life. And I think that if it's because it changed my life, I want to give other people the opportunity. Because you know how many fighters came to me and they said, I read your story, man. Yeah. I'm going to go talk to a therapist, right? Yeah. Because at first, being a man, especially in bare knuckle fighting, like, man, we're the man, right?
Right.
And this guy, I'm going to sit and speak to a therapist, and that's very vulnerable, right? And if I'm doing it, leading this kind of charge, and my fighters are backing me up by doing it, it just opens the door that, listen, sometimes you need to talk to somebody. And this gives them the opportunity to feel that they're not being, you know, that it's they're able to do that, right? Mm-hmm. That they're not being turned away by society, because society says that a man should be a man. But now that is being a man, and going through therapy, I understand that it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
You saw abuse, you experienced abuse, you saw racism, you experienced racism and all of that level of division that went on, and had to fight your way through all of that.
Right.
Fight both literally and figuratively. And symbolically. Do you think that makes you more relatable? You start talking about the folks, because we talked about fighters are built different, and a lot of them have these kind of stories. Do you think in the shady business you talked about, they sit back and go, you know, that guy has already shown he's one of us. He's right. Shown that he can overcome those things. And so they're willing to take a chance on some, well, it's not taking a chance anymore, but they were willing to take a chance on something like that.
Yeah, I think when you get into combat sports, there's a lot of promoters that we say have never been punched in their face in their life, right?
Right.
And if you've never been punching your face, and some of them, have never been theoretically punched in their face, like they never had to go through any hardship, and that's being punched in your face and choosing to keep going on. But a lot of these guys have never actually been punched in their face, so they don't know what the fighters are going through. Mm-hmm. Myself, my brother, Damon, we've been punched in our face. We get it. We know what it takes. And that's why we can relate to these fighters. We can relate to the guys and girls that fight for us because we know what they're going through. We know the trials and tribulations it takes to be successful as a combat sport athlete. So we've been through so many different things that allows us to relate to that.
I feel like, outsider watching this, I feel like you guys also have both been true to your word because you're on either side of it. So we read all these stories about these fighters who are coming and fighting in bare knuckle or celebrity or what have you, and actually getting paid.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of going in there, I'm going to go fight. I'm going to go get my head all slammed up, but they're going to take care of me. You know, so being the fighter, is that another part of it? You're a promoter and a businessman. But you're also paying people who are getting in there and giving it all.
I mean, I think as a businessman, you have to understand what your number one commodity is. And my number one commodity is my athletes, my fighters. The guys that go out there, they risk their life for us. Look, fighters risk their life every time they get inside that ring. So they risk their life for us. They need to be rewarded for us. And I always say, if you go in there and fight your butt off and do and fight as hard as you can, I said, this is my pre-fight speech, I'm going to give you a bonus. And I give a lot of guys bonuses. Usually I have 22 fighters on every card, and I'm usually bonusing about 12 fighters at the end of every card, additional to their paycheck. And their paycheck is more than they make in boxing or mixed martial arts.
So I'm reading stories. We talked about 2018, the kind of the slow grind. I'm put your business in the street because your business is in the street.
Sure.
Is it true that it goes from struggling to get to $500,000 in revenue to being one of the fastest growing means that your comment that one day I'm going to be a $1 billion business, you're like halfway there. Like those numbers, 400, 500 million in terms of global earnings. These are real numbers.
Yeah, I think we just need, I always go like this one turned the corner for us. And then this episode turned the corner for us.
Okay.
We just need to turn the corner one or two more times. And I don't think there's any stopping us. I don't think there's any other combat sport in the world that is going to match with the power of what we're able to do, because I really, truly believe this sport is more relatable than anybody in the world. Like, we talked about getting punched in the face. Like, have you ever been punched in the face? And we're doing this show that we did in Philadelphia, right? Philadelphians, they get punched in their face. They have, when you wake up in the morning, they're getting punched in their face. Do you choose to get up and fight for what you want, or do you choose to lay down? And I think that that really resonates with a lot of people in the world. And I think that's why bare knuckle fighting really is catching on to everybody, because life is a punch in the face. And are you going to continue? And then when they can see people getting punched in the face with bare knuckles, something that they've done in a playground or they've seen someone else do, I think that really relates to everybody in the world.
Bare knuckle fighting as a motivational source.
It's crazy, man. It really, truly is, though. It really is. You know how many people call me? Sorry,
they call
that.
Right now.
Yes. They're calling me.
Listen,
and
you're a businessman.
And the ringer's off. I apologize.
No, you're a businessman. This happened.
But how many people call me and tell me that, man, your story changed my life, or your drive changed my life, or watching these guys and girls, you know, go out there and fight for what they believe in really changed my life. I mean, it really, truly is life changing. I did an interview a couple weeks ago and really dove into my story a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I've got literally 20,000 plus messages about people that said, man, I can't believe you talked about that. Now I'm going to go and help. It's going to help change my life. It was just, I think sharing is, you know, they say sharing is caring, and it's true, but sharing your story and sharing your experience can really, truly help other people. But you know, not just in getting punched in the face,
right?
Not getting punched in the face, but in life in general.
So what's next? You're fastest growing, you know, you're selling out stadiums that have not been sold out, you know, for right. combat sports. You've been to multiple countries doing this. Is there some big plan, or is it just keep, I'm getting to a billion? Like, people laughed when Conor McGregor was like, I'm going to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And then he shows up on the Forbes list. Now you just kind of steady going, or you have some big plan we should be looking for?
Man, I manifest everything. I say I'm going to do this, and then, you know, they say entrepreneurs, they jump off a building and they build a parachute on the way down.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. But I think the next big thing is a major, major media deal. We have four of the major decision makers that we're talking to right now of the major networks. And if we score one of these media deals, we're a $1 billion company overnight. And we're very, very close to scoring one of them. And I think that just, look, a kid from Philadelphia, from outside of Philadelphia, you know, with a story that you just got to fight for what you want. And we're going to turn this into a $1 billion, $2 billion, $3 billion company. And we're going to change a lot of lives. The whole purpose of this whole entire thing is to change as many lives as we can change during this journey. Like, the fighters, the people that are with me, the family, whose life can we help change during this journey? And that's what we're really, really trying to do. And I think that's why we're being blessed and having, you know, all these fans back us up and having everybody really get become a part of what we're doing here.
So what's the pitch for this being on TV? We're a television entity. We're on locally and globally now, also streaming platform, national platform. How do you convince them that this, and this company actually has aired UFC.
Yeah.
How do you convince them that, like, Bare Knuckle is a TV type product for the people who are afraid that watching this live is a problem?
So the questions were, are advertisers going to want to advertise this? That's the main question, right? Because, okay, again, we go back to numbers. Numbers don't lie. And our viewership is better than anybody out there. There's nobody that has more viewership than us. So that's the number one thing that TV companies want to look for. Are you getting views? We're getting views. Now, are people going to advertise? So we showed them a list, and they've talked to a list of our sponsors and the people that are potential sponsors for us. And some of them are, or, you know, semi blue chip companies. And they then said, wow, we can get advertising money for this. We can get, you know, people that want to sponsor this and advertise with this sport. So that made the conversation so much easier. But that was the real hurdle. It wasn't the viewership, because we had the viewership. Okay. Is, are they going to be able to monetize this? Because they can put it on TV all they want, but if someone doesn't want to run a commercial with it, it's not going to work. They found out that a lot of companies do want to run a commercial with the sport.
So you're talking like this is happening. You're just figuring out where it's happening. But so bare knuckle fighting on network TV or on a mainstream cable, whatever.
So
this is a reality.
We're on major platforms already. We're on DAZN, which is a major streaming platform. We're on Fox Deportes, actually, which we're I think the number two sport on Fox Deportes overall.
Okay.
So we're delivering numbers, and there are major companies that are very interested in the product already. We're on so many different affiliates around the country and around the world. Like I said, our viewership is not the problem. And now, them knowing that we're compatible with advertisers and sponsors, that's not really the problem anymore. So I think it's just a matter now of getting a good deal together, picking out which company that we think is the right company that's going to take us to the top, and that they think that we can help deliver them the right viewership. And I think we're going to have a deal here in no time.
That's amazing, man. That's awesome. That continued success. When you are struggling for people for acceptance, a lot of times people will leave you alone. The big businesses, the bigger players.
Sure.
When you're challenging them for dominance, then they start coming after you. How has that been with some of these other companies going, wait a minute, like, they're actually pulling our fighters. They're actually pulling our views. Embraced, or have you kind of created another additional competition?
You know, some of the bigger combat sports companies out there in the world were very, very nice to us at the beginning, because we talked very good about them, and we still continue to talk very good about them. But they were very nice to us, meaning they would let us use some of their fighters. They would let us use some of the
even while they were still under contract.
They had. Absolutely, they did, because we were keeping them busy. Now that we're knocking on their doors and nipping at their heels, that has ended. They're not letting us use their fighters anymore. So I think it's very – one guy actually – had stopped me from getting into another state, and I'm not going to mention who the guy's name is, but he stopped the regulator from regulating me in another state. And I came back and was like, wow, can you believe that guy stopped us? Like,
right.
That was a big compliment. Like, at first, you know, 3 years ago, I'd have been like, that's awful, that guy stopped us. I'm like, that guy stopped us from getting in that state because we're making noise, because they're coming after us. But look, when this thing started, nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody did. I mean, even guys, major guys on my team were like, I'm going to be on your team, but I don't know if this thing's going to go, right? And now they all want to talk. They just want to talk, and we were able to turn and change everybody's perception. And I think that was our number one job, right? We had a big perception change play here, because when you talk about it at first, you're like, what is that? And then we get to explain it to you, just like with you.
Yeah.
You know, is it brutal? It's a little brutal. You're hitting with bare knuckles. You're getting cuts. But is it dangerous? That's the real fact. And it's not as dangerous as any other combat sport on the planet. As a matter of fact, bare knuckle fighting versus professional football has 20% of the concussion rate that professional football has. So it's not as dangerous as you may think. And I think just being able to change the perception to everybody around the world has really been a big win for bare knuckle fighting championship.
It's interesting when the, in quotes, big boys, and you're now one of them, when they fear you. Like, they're trying to block you from going in other places. That is a compliment. That's them paying attention.
But it was,
we can't let him come here.
It was hard to take it as a compliment at first, because you're like, man, I was so mad because I was so looking forward to it. And then I was like, wow, he blocked us. Like, right. That is so great, right? And, you know, we're on a great mission here. We're running really, really fast, and we're changing a lot of minds, and I think that's a big, big deal for us. And I think a lot of Philadelphians who watch Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship are now going to be huge, huge fans of the sport.
That's when you just puff out your chest. Like, don't be scared. Like, don't worry about me. We're coming anyway. It just might take a little bit more. Couple more questions, then I'll let you go. So you were just in Philly.
All right.
Huge crowd. Great night of fights. Big names. How often are you doing this, and what are the next ones that we can look forward to?
I think we're going to position – I always wanted to position Philly as our home because it is our home.
Okay.
But we weren't able to. Now we will. So we're actually talking to the mayor, and we're talking to the city about building a facility to train fighters here, to actually house fights here, and to make this – the UFC has a building in Las Vegas called the Apex.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to build our type of Apex here in Philadelphia and really make this our home. Okay. We're planning on doing at least 6 more shows here in Philadelphia throughout the year and 1 more really big show at the Wells Fargo. We're also going to go up to Pittsburgh and do a show there as well.
So there was just a whole big stink about you got to develop all of Market Street. There are just some big promises made, man. You talk to them and get your version of the Apex right there on Market Street.
I would love it, man. I mean, like,
people watching, you need to holler at him.
Let's
we
go.
We need that here.
Absolutely.
We need to make that happen. 2 more things and we will let you go. You talked about inspiring people. You talked about that kind of message, that inspiration, charitable work, that type of thing. Tell me why that kind of thing is important to you.
I mean, yeah, you have to give back, right? Like, we were all in a position where we needed something from somebody, and there's a time to give back, and we always make sure that we give first. One of my mentors that kind of works with me right now, his name is Howard, and he really told me, like, look, we don't wait until we see if we have any money left to give back. We give back off the top. So we give back. That's the first thing we do, is give back, and then we see what's left for everybody else.
And then my final question for everyone, the theme of this show is how you use your voice for good. You've been talking about that throughout, kind of sharing your story. But when you hear use your voice for good, what does that phrase mean to you?
I think it means, look, you're becoming more and more successful. You're becoming more and more eyes on you, and you have this platform and this ability to really help people. And I think that if you don't use that platform to help people, you know it's a big mistake, and that's really what we do. We want to use this platform to really help people to give back, to give them opportunities, to give them encouragement, even, you know, just that you don't have to be where you're at, or maybe you're at a great place and you can be in a bigger and a better place. And it's just really using the platform for good, and that's really what we do.
And I appreciate you spending time with this. This is an inspiring story, and we only got to touch on some of it. I have absolutely no desire to actually fight in bare knuckle, but I am a supporter,
awesome,
a fan. I look forward to having you back when the people who laughed get to see your name on that billionaire list.
I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate you having me and give me a chance to tell some of the story. I'm a Philadelphian through and through. I love Philadelphia, and I love being able to put on an event like we put on, and I want to do many, many more here, and to help and encourage as many people as possible.
Whenever you're in town, you and your brother, you got space here on
awesome.
The Pulse.
My man, thank you.
Appreciate you. Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with the founder of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, David Feldman. This one was interesting. It was different than what we are used to normally doing with the celebrities or the faces in front of the screen. This was the business person, the promoter, the person with the story, and hopefully was as inspiring to you as it was to me and all the different people who he has helped continue on their journey. Maybe you're curious about bare knuckle fighting. Maybe you're a fan. Maybe you're not. But the idea of overcoming the obstacles and continuing to pursue your goals is a message that I think resonates with all of us. Do me a favor, hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is on your phone, tablet, computer, so that you get notifications every time another episode of The Pulse is available every week. Download the Fox Local app so all of our shows are right there at your fingertips on demand. And hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Always eager to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.